त्वा गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन्नुतिभिः सेदसादनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः रूपं दृश्यं लोचनं दृक् तद्दृश्यं दृक्तु मानसं दृश्याधिवृतया साक्षी दृगेव न तु दृश्यते दृक् एव न तु दृश्यते the sakshi, the ultimate observer, is never becomes the object of experience. You can never see it, you can never hear it, touch it. The Upanishad, in one place, it says that the mind and the speech and the mind went together to find this, to find the absolute. Aprapya manasa saha yata vacho nivartante aprapya manasa saha. So they went to find it, the speech and mind together, but they unsuccessfully returned. They couldn't find. So it's not something can be grasped because it cannot become the object. That's the main thing. We're always wanting to get somewhere, to do something, become something, experience something. So we want to, then when we turn to spiritual, we say, yes, it's not something out there. Let me find that one which is in here. But we also don't find because you can't find it as an object. The moment it's object of perception, then it's not the self. That's what happens. So that's the reason why the cycle keeps going and going, that we keep, you know, we keep looking but not knowing how to look. That's the thing. Very tricky, because very different than looking for other things. There's a nice term used for this. This is a very, very nice term that's used for this. It's like this, apraptam praptihi. No, praptasya prapti, sorry. Praptasya praptihi. So, praptasya praptihi. Up to obtain, so prop to obtain, meaning to really to obtain praptasya, our Sanskrit people will know if praptaha is to obtain, so praptasya of the obtained. Actually, it works a little different here, but obtaining what has already been obtained. It's not obtaining something new like this, because obtaining something new, if what we find is something we didn't have before, right? Somebody, you know, works real hard and then obtains something. They make a lot of money, they buy a big house, right? Big house with a beautiful view. Now they lose their job. What's going to happen to the house? The house, eventually they have to give up. You can't. So anything I didn't have before, now I learn Sanskrit, I know so many things Sanskrit. Tomorrow, my mind is less sharp, I forget it. So anything that you don't have that you gain will be there, and then eventually will also not be there. You can't just hold on, and you can't hold on to something and keep it for good in this world. Not possible. You know, find one example. You know, some people want to be king, right? Some presidents want to be king for eternity, but before you know it, they're not king anymore. They're not president anymore because they're voted out, because somebody else takes over, because they die, whatever it is. But you can't, whatever you get will be gone. So if Atmajnana, self-knowledge, is something that you get that wasn't there before, meaning that later on it might also not be there, because you can forget it, you can lose it. So here it says, no, it's something different than that. It's not something that you're going to get that you don't have already. It's something you already have, but you just weren't aware of it, like this. The example we like to give in the classes when we're here in person, which hopefully will be again in your future. My glasses I like to have on the thread, the string around my neck. So I have it hanging here, right? And then I'll say, okay, I need to read the next verse, where are my glasses? So I don't need to go and get a new pair of glasses. I just need to figure out where the glasses are, right? Since I don't have a thread, I can put them here instead. Okay. Where are my glasses? Where they go? Like this. So in this way, it's so Atmajnana is like this. It's not getting something new, but seeing what's already there. That's why the methodology is as it is. It's a very unique methodology, what we're doing, the Vedanta study, because like Raja Yoga, Yoga Chitta Vritti Nirodha, which people say this, you know, people say, okay, I want to experience, you know, calm mind, peaceful mind. It's become more mainstream thing, like the Kung Fu Panda movie. At the first or second one, at the beginning, they did so funny where how they're showing how the teacher is teaching in this. They, you know, it becomes a mainstream thing like this. But they, so, okay, I want to have a quiet mind. Okay, so I learn, bring the mind, bring my attention, the breath, bring to something so mind is quiet, so I'm obtaining something, meaning now I don't have peace of mind. I'll work out, I'll get peace of mind. So that peace of mind, something I get because I didn't have before. So this is apra, you know, if I put an a before, right, the a is a negation. So if I say apraptasya praptihi, the peace of mind that I get from yoga asana pranayama, from Raja Yoga meditation, will be something I didn't have before and now I have, right? So this is going to be something different because this I can get and lose. Many people say, I used to practice meditation years ago and I was in a wonderful state of mind. Now I haven't been practicing, my mind isn't as peaceful. So you get and you lose. So this is most things, just about everything we do is apraptasya praptihi, meaning I'm getting something I didn't have before. I'm gaining that. And this is something different. That's why the methodology is different. That's why the methodology is viveka, is vichara, is a very specific kind of inquiry in order to understand. It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like in science. In science, they're not trying to figure out something new. You know, there can be an ego thing. I want to find my new idea. There is some competition that let my idea stand. So, but that's not the real idea of science, right? The real idea of science, understand what's there, not under something new there. Later, after the scientist figures it out, then, you know, people may use that in order for technology, use it for business. So that's a different story. Use what they've learned. But really, it's just, you know, a lot of scientists, they just want to understand how the world functions, how things work, not something new there. So it's similar to that here, understanding who am I, what's this behind this? So what's there is not something new. So that's why this very specific kind of inquiry of using viveka, the discrimination, is what's needed for this, not to get something else. The other things, you know, the Karma Yoga, Raja Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, they're very good, and they are very good preparation for the mind, very necessary, but it's not the end in itself like this. This is the special thing about Vedantic study, like that. So that's why we're studying here the Drik Drishya Viveka, because that's one of the methodologies used here for, you know, for finding what's already there. And because what happens is the Drik, you as the Sakshi, the observer, is always the same one, always the same thing. So that's what we're, what this is trying to point out. So last week we got until verse 11, right? And in here he's still analyzing the individual, the jiva, and looking into the whole model that he gave here of the, this is the Chidabhasa model, the reflection in the mind, consciousness reflected in the mind, as we said, the original consciousness, OC, reflected in RM, in reflecting medium, some media, where here we'll say it's the intellect, the mind, because it's intellect is the subtlest part, most refined part. And then we have the RC, reflected consciousness, like this. So this, so like when I have it, I feel I'm something, I like, this means that that's the, some reflection, my idea, persona, is a reflection. So it can't be, you know, can't be the original one. This is what he's been discussing here in this way. One very nice point about this model, because again, every model is to explain something. It's not in order to be an exact picture, because exact picture of you can't draw like that. So one nice point that this, that's said about, it's talking about our experience. So our experience is very similar to this, right? Very similar to something being reflected. So one difference is when you have something that's reflected, right? I look in the mirror, there's a certain distance between myself and the mirror. I have to stand at a certain distance. If I'm too close, I won't see anything. Too far also, it won't work. But I have to be a certain distance. There has to be a separation. Here, there isn't a separation between the two. There's no separation, you and your mind, as a distance. It's just, so this is one thing just to be aware with this model, that you're not, what is the distance between you and your mind? You can't say there's a distance. I'm standing here, the mind is there. My awareness is, it's not limited in a place. So to clarify that also, we talked about the red hot iron ball, because the red hot iron ball, there's no distance between the heat and the metal and the fire, the heat, it's one thing and one, but you can differentiate between the two. So here, that's why we can't separate, that it's not a physical distance. Because also how we spoke about Atma, all-pervading. So how can Atma be distant from something else? It's like, how far is your house from the space? It's a irrelevant question. It doesn't make a difference, but there's a difference between the house and the space. So this is similar like this. So there isn't a distance between the two, but the experience we have is very much like this. This is in order to explain through our experience what we are, to try to understand it. That's really what it is, to point it out. So this is a very nice point that's brought up about this. And it's actually brought up by Swami Viditatmanandaji. Again, I'm sorry, I'll send the information in his book. So I hadn't done that. I was, as I said, I contacted Arshavidya, the bookstore in their ashram, Pennsylvania, but I didn't hear back from them, so maybe they're closed. I'm not sure, so I'll just share so you guys can try to find, if you want to find his book on it. So last week we read verse 11, the inner instrument, the antakarana, which is of the nature of modification of mind, is also united with the reflected consciousness. It produces mental images and dream, whereas during the waking state it creates sense objects outside, not internally, that was a typo, with the help of the sense organs. So we said, yes, we have the inner world, outer world. This is also the thoughts of the mind, or also borrow the consciousness from the intellect, right? We say, first of all, we said from the reflected consciousness that there's the feeling of I, the ahankara. This is the first thing that will come. Then there's a differentiation, I and not I, so buddhi, the intellect, comes into play. Separation, aham idam, me and this. So this. So that also bars the light. And afterwards also, I have thoughts and identify with thoughts. So that also bars the light. It's like, you know, keeps passing it down. It keeps going down the road like this. So it gets also to the thoughts. So we talked about inner experience and outer experience in my mind. So in imagination or dream or thoughts. This one is, you know, just inside. Then there's the outer. And we said the only difference between the two is now I see you through some sense. There's sensation in my eyes that brings about the image in my mind. Now I close my eyes, I imagine or I dream about the class, I see you exact same way, but here the image of you comes from my mind. Otherwise, everything else is the same. No difference. Everything else, it's only that original stimulus which is different. Otherwise, it's the identical thing. Now what happens then is the inner one is totally my mental projection because it's all just some projection from my mind. There's nothing else. When you're dreaming, it's just your own mind doing everything. Now when I look at the world, there's an admixture, right? Some people say co-creation. So this is the co-creation. There are two creations, as we said last time. Ishvara Srishti, Jiva Srishti, we mentioned. Ishvara Srishti, the God's creation. Jiva Srishti, my creation. So the co-creation. So that's one stimulus coming into the senses. We say, yes, that's, I didn't create that. I didn't make it happen. Nothing to do with me. That's true. That one, you can convict, you can find me guilty of other things, but not of that. Everything else I can be guilty, but not that part. That one, Brahmaji will say, the creator will say, yes, I'm guilty. I did that. Okay, fine. But what happens then is, we said this is a very nice methodology also to look at our lives. If I separate the two, and I let Ishvara Srishti be there, that's fine. The Jiva Srishti, I'm superimposing on it. And that one is where I'm binding myself because, like, there's elections. Yes, there's elections. 1,000 people voted for this, 1,002 for this. Right, in Fremont, the last election for mayor, the assistant mayor ran against the previous mayor. And won by, it was literally, I don't remember the number, was the smallest percentage margin I've seen. So close. So like this. But in any case, the sidetracking there. So now I will say, okay, I'm very happy this new mayor got in. I didn't like the previous. I'll say like this. That's already my creation. This is good, this is not. That's my idea. This is the fact. These are facts. That's how it is. That I'm very happy I'm going and celebrating, or I'm very sad and angry about it and I'm going to go and contest it and spend a lot of money in the courts. This is my creation, like this. So, you know, I'm born in this place, so I'm very happy. Oh, I'm very sad I wasn't born in that place. That's, again, that's just the fact. I'm born in this place. I live like this. I have this kind of body, this kind of good health, this kind of health problem. I live this many years and I die like this and like that. That's just, you know, that's Ishvara Srishti, how it is. That it's very tragic or very fortunate that I'm adding on to it like this. So this is, and that all comes from my identification with it like this. So this way of learning to separate those is a very helpful tool to use. Very helpful then, you know, then it's, that's just how it is. I was told about this. I didn't experience directly in person. But I was told that in our ashram in Canada a long time ago, one of the people that was staying there for some time was somebody who had been in prison for murder, right? Whatever. I guess after some years they let you out. I don't know the laws in Canada because it's in Canada. So, you know, so gets out of prison. And then later was living in the ashram. So Swami Vishnu, I was told this, that he used to say, you know, he used to say sometimes, and this guy's a murderer, like this. So now, this person in the ashram, if there's ego involved, you know, then the person will feel, oh, why is he saying about, why is he putting out like this? Or just, that's how, you know. It can be the guru will do things, will say certain things if the teacher's, to help to test where am I at? Am I going to identify with that? Or it's just, that's just factual thing. This is how it is. Or even if it's not factual, that's, you know. So that helps to test my, how much am I attached to my ideas? Because the issue, the jiva srishti, my idea is my attachment to it. Another similar thing about how attached my ideas goes, again, something that I was told about, that I was just told by somebody, I don't know about the system, I think it's Tibetan Buddhists, I think, in certain, maybe it's certain sect there, I'm not sure, that when somebody, people are going through the training to become monks, then one test one would have is they draw these fancy mandalas. You can go and see, like, for a few days they're drawing it, right? So the test I've heard that they give some people then, they have to draw a mandala that the projection of their own mind, their idea, from all their training, I guess, their idea of the whole structure of the universe or whatever it is they have to do. Now what happens, and they're asked many questions about it, right? And probably challenged. And then part of the test is really how much is the person, I guess, have conviction and also have clarity and also have attachment to their idea. And then the moment it's finished, I have to right away erase the whole thing. The moment's done. That's also part of the test. How much am I attached to this thing here, like that. So my idea then, and then I'm attached to it. So in this way, this is how we were discussing about that. And it is a bit of, it's not directly said here, but this is an important thing like this that can be very helpful in what we studied like this. So the main point there is really seeing eventually in Vedanta we'll go to say, yes, the external world is a projection, but at least now we can say, how much of is it a projection? The part that's a projection, can I not have that control me? Okay, you know, that isn't the main thing, right? As the more I'm caught in projection, meaning in my idea of it, then the more I help to trap myself. That's the main thing like this. That we can learn from this thing here. So let's continue on now. He's in verse 12, he's saying like this. Manoham krityupadhanam lingam ekam jadatmakam avasthatarayamanveti jayate mriyate tatha. So the subtle body, the sukshma sharira, which is inert by nature, is the common material cause for the mind and the ego. It attains the three states of consciousness and is born and dies, like this. So, lingam dehena jadatmakam. So first of all, it's in the sukshma sharira, subtle body. Here it's called it linga sharira. Linga sharira is another name for sukshma sharira. And linga means an indicator. Like, for example, right now I take this guy right here, and now you see the light, right? You see that we all came here to see the light, so we see the light. So the light is an indicator that we have electricity in the house, right? If there was no electricity, it wouldn't be there. So it indicates, you know that. You don't see the electricity directly. You can't see it directly. I remember in high school in physics, we had a certain with certain experiments, because I did the math physics major in high school where I went. And so we had this certain accelerator. It was like a glass ball this big with certain thing that we'd run something, you'd see the lines from like certain circle from the electron running. There's something very basic. I remember that one specifically because we had an exam where somebody came from outside. Part of it was you had to do an experiment. That's the one that I got to do. So like this, I don't remember too much about it. Now I'd flunk if they would ask me about that now. But again, you don't see the electrons, but you see the light because of the movement of the electron there, like of the stream of electrons. So this same way, the subtle body, it's called the indicator body because it indicates the fact that I'm aware, that I'm conscious, I'm a conscious being. Just like the electricity you couldn't see, but you could see the light indicated that. I can see The fact that I can see indicates that I'm conscious. If I wasn't a conscious being, how could I see? Right? I can think. If you weren't a conscious being, how could you think? Right? This Rabbi Gelberman, very beautiful man. He died in his late 90s, very good friend of my master's. So he used to have a lot of pain in his leg. He was old, you know, his mid-90s. So he'd say, it's wonderful because it means that I'm alive. If it wasn't hurting, I wouldn't be alive. Because I have pain, it shows that I'm alive. So you have pain. Pain is coming because it's sense of touch. It's coming from without subtle body. You wouldn't have pain if you weren't alive. So it shows, and you wouldn't have pain if you weren't a conscious being. The stone doesn't feel pain, right? You dig in the earth in order to plant a plant. There might be some small animal, something you hurt, but the earth itself, it's not hurting it, right? But, you know, because not a conscious being. So these things, that's why it's called this name, and it's a very important one. Every name they give, you know, you look into it, has a lot to it. Because I'm caught up in what I think, in what I experience. Where here it's saying, look at the fact that you think, the fact that you experience. That fact is an indicator of your conscious being. But you're caught up in this instead of that. It's kind of like if we'll try to explain to somebody about the electricity and we have the lamp and they'll say, you know, I don't like that lamp very much. I like the older style, not the modern style ones. That one's too bright. I don't like bright lamps. They're going to be constantly looking at that part where you're trying to explain about the fact the light is here shows you there has to be some energy behind, some electricity behind. So we're caught up in the external thing instead of looking at what's behind it, what it's showing us. So in Vedanta, like for instance, we analyze the dream a lot, not what's the content of the dream, but how the dream happens, how we can learn from that. So here, I experience the fact that I experience it, how it shows that I'm a conscious being. I have to be a conscious being behind it when I look at how experience happens, not what the experience is. So this is why this term is used, like this. And jadat makam, and it is, the subtle body is inert. It's not a conscious, it's not a sentient being, right? It's not sentient because it borrows the light from the consciousness, right? What's the every single part of material in your physical body is also physical material. So every part in the subtle body is also just subtle material, you know, this energy and thought level, you know, as computers show today. So slowly all the different processes we will have, mental processes we'll have, slowly machines do in one way or the other. So it just shows it's, you know, it's something that the conscious being doesn't, you know, these same processes can be simulated like this. So it's inert because the only conscious thing is Atma itself, the consciousness itself. Everything else is jadam. Because if you remember, we said drik drishya, when we had the columns of the two, the drik has to be conscious, a conscious entity. And drishyam has to be jadam, has to be insentient. It's always like that. So I'm aware of my mind, I'm aware of my thoughts. It means that they're not sentient. If it was sentient, I couldn't be aware of, because the sentient isn't, you can't be aware of consciousness. It's can never be put on the other side like this. You know, it's the indicator that's there is put on the other side, just like thoughts are there, so I know. The tree is moving, so I know there's wind. I don't see the wind, but it indicates there's wind. So I don't see myself as the conscious being, but I see the indicators. So the indicator isn't that one, like this. The light isn't the electricity. So that's why it has to be jada. Avastatrayam anveti. So it is in and through the three states of consciousness, where actually we say states of consciousness, the waking, the jagrat, right? The dream, swapna, and the deep sleep, sushupti. So although we say three states of consciousness, that's a term we use, but consciousness doesn't have states, right? Kind of like they say the Russian planes went through American space. Now, Can you show me American space? America is in the space, not the space is in America. So, you know, so they do some demarcation, some idea like this. So this, the Earth is in the space, and then we try to demarcate by the Earth, but really it's the space, just one continuous thing like this. So really the difference is here, we make borders between countries. So those differences belong to some border that's drawn, whether geographic or human-made, but not to space, right? Demarcations of space don't belong to space. They're in the space. So the three states of these three states really belong then to the mind, they're states of mind, not states of consciousness. If it were a state of consciousness would be different like this. This is the main point that he's saying, bringing up here for us to be clear, because we're doing, this is viveka, the discrimination between the two. So we have to make sure what belongs on which side. And if that were to belong to consciousness, then consciousness would be going through some changes like this. One other interesting point from here is that deep sleep, if Sakshi, the witness in consciousness, if that were to illumine things directly, because right, we said it can't illumine directly, it has to have the reflection in order to illumine. If it were to illumine directly, then why aren't you aware of your deep sleep when you're asleep? It illumines directly. But then it's kind of like, why there's sunlight out in this space, why don't you see the light there all around? There's nothing to reflect it. So in the deep sleep, the mind is absent. So it's like the darkness in the space. There's nothing to reflect it for you to see what's happening. Why am I not there? Just aware the whole time, I know nothing. I'm seeing blankness. But you're not. So it shows that the deep sleep then, it's state of the mind. The mind has gone into a sleep mode, just like a machine goes into sleep mode, right? The mind goes into sleep mode. So Sakshi directly, you'd be aware of what's there the whole time. So that also shows that it has to belong to the mind. Otherwise it would be very different. So this, and then also not just that, but jayate, mriyate, right? Born and dies, right? These ones are, as for those Sanskrit, these are atmanepadi, we learn just parasmepadi, so that's why this kind of conjugation we didn't learn yet, we'll learn soon. It also borns and dies. Birth and death also belongs to the sukshma sharira, not to the atma. Because again, if atma dies, leaves the body, then it goes through a change. It has to go through a change in time and space in that case. Then it would be something limited. But really what happens, the subtle body separates from physical body, that is the death. That's really what it is. And then you go, you know, kind of like before, the older model of software, I bought a CD of Word, I put it in my computer, I give it to you, put it in your computer, no problem. So we have copies of it. So it wouldn't work as well, but now the model that they've done now, the business model, helps better now with our understanding of the subtle body leaving the physical and all this, because now I have a subscription to Word. I can only install one computer. I want to install another computer, it'll say, no, there's already installation, you can't put it there. It can only go on one computer. So, Sukshma Sharira here. I can't go into a different body, I die. It leaves now, okay, it'll go find another one, get installed in another one, only one. But in this way, it's that one that leaves. That's why we say, yes, there's, you know, the whole impressions from the past would be there and everything, because that's in my Karan Sharira, in my Sukshma Sharira from past, can come and then be in another body. So that's what is, you know, what's left there. That's what goes to the birth and death cycle is this, not Atma. Because Atma is the same regardless of what. That's why, as a question we had in the other class, was somebody asked about previous lives, about remembering previous lives. And from Vedanta perspective, it doesn't really matter. You know, if somebody has ability to do that, or somebody, you know, has near-death experience, things like this, it can show them they're beyond just this birth, which is, you know, which is very nice. But the thing is that doesn't, that shows them they're a jiva. They're not just this physical body. But it doesn't show your atma, because atma, na jayate mriyate vipashchit, one never born, never dies. From the perspective of the subtle body, will say, just like we'll say, I went to first grade, I went to second grade, then I moved to here, I went to a different school, then there was coronavirus, so I had to skip 1 year of school, something like this, right? So in this way, the subtle body will say, I was born in Africa and this, and I grew up in this place in the jungle and this, and I lived this long, then I died. Then afterwards, you know, I was born in South America, somewhere around Peru. There wasn't Peru then yet, so somewhere in that geographical area. And I lived, and then I lived a shorter life because there wasn't much food and there was this, so I died when I was young. Then I was born in Russia and Siberia, and there was very cold there, and you know, like this. It'll tell these stories just like we tell first grade, second grade. But it will say I went through all these changes like this. But Atma is Sakshi isn't. Sakshi is the same. It isn't the one that's born and died. It's like the screen on which all this projected, because it doesn't change. And if you see in my lifetime, I feel I'm the same one all the time. Should I recollect other lifetimes, I'll feel I'm the same one experiencing that lifetime. I think of future lifetimes, I will be the one experiencing that. I'm still the same one. If not, then why would I recollect it as first person? Like the dream you recollect as first person. So in this way, the Atma is not the one that goes through the things. It's the, right, the in whose light all this is experienced, like this. So this is the point until here that he is pointing out like this about the mind and how it then becomes enlivened as though, right, how it bars and how it then starts going through all of this. This is what he's been pointing out up to here. So now he moves briefly to another topic in these next few verses. He goes a bit to the universal. Most of the time he's talking individual level, but he touches somewhat a little bit on the universal too, so here he's going to talk on the universal level. Shakti dvayam himayaya vikshepa vritti rupakam vikshepa shaktir lingadi brahmandantam jagat srujet. Verily, Maya is endowed with two powers, the projecting and the veiling. The projecting power creates the world from the individual subtle body to the whole cosmos. So he's talking now about Maya, right? And Maya, here I don't think we have brought it up in this specific text yet. So Maya is, you know, how when you have some movie, for instance, they say this famous actor is in this movie, and they pay that one a lot of money to be in the movie just to do, you know, a 2-minute role, but that way they can get audience to come and see. So making a special appearance. So that one's appearance suddenly comes, you know, after 1 hour in the movie. So this one. So the Maya hasn't made the appearance yet here, but now making her a grand appearance here. But Maya, then, it's going to be the reflecting medium, we can say, in the whole cosmos, in universal, like this. The individual say avidya, that's individual. My karana sharira made out of avidya, ignorance. Universal scale, right? The karana prapancha, the cause, universal cause of whole creation, will say then maya, like this, in this way. And again, maya is not some independent thing. Otherwise, you have Brahman and Maya and two things. So then then Brahman would be limited from, it wouldn't be unlimited, it would be something limited because it's limited by Maya. It's kind of like you go to sleep. To go to sleep, you have to have some, to start dreaming, you have the deep sleep for a little while, so you forget yourself in order to project something else. Now, this deep sleep, it depends on you, the individual. It's not an independent thing. If you're not alive, deep sleep isn't there. You need the conscious being. So any, that's an ability of mine to have that. Any ability I have depends on me. Without me, that ability is not there. Right? I, you know, nice thing, Swami Paramarthanandaji likes to say, he has the power to speak, so he's speaking. Right? You're listening, you have the power to hear. If I'm not here, where's that power of speech? Can it just be there on its own? It doesn't exist. Can you just leave your power of hearing and go? You go take a nap, leave the power of hearing to listen to the talk. You can't do that. So that one depends on you. It's not independent. So Maya is not something independent like this. So in the Brahmashraya, Maya, dependent on Brahman, is this Maya. This is how it's said in the Tattvabodha. So in any case here, it's saying this Maya then, Brahman, just the consciousness, you're just as conscious being, they're just one thing, not multiple. To have multiplicity, it has to go through, something has to make it look like multiple. There's no other, and that thing can't be something separate from. So in any case, so this Maya is saying here, okay, we have this, and it has two different powers, right? The Maya, the Brahman itself, no powers, just one thing everywhere. What? The space. What is it, can the space do to itself? It can't, it's just one thing. So with the Maya, the moment something limited, then it can have some ability to do something, because you need some attribute in order to have some ability, because power means ability. The word Shakti here, Shakti, the root Shak, Shak Shaknoti, for our Sanskrit people, Shaknoti, right, like Karoti, so be Shaknoti, Shaknuta, Shaknuvanti, like this. So to be able to do, to be capable. So it has the capacity to do something. So it has two main powers. And these are, first of all, right, vikshepa and avaranam. Avaranam, right, to cover. One of the, we talked about avaranam, the covering. This is the one of the three impediments in my mind, the doshas in my mind. The covering covers that I can't see clearly. And vikshepa, tossing, the tossing of the mind, seeing something different from what it is, right? Or jumping to some conclusion of something else. This is, so it has both of these powers, both of these abilities, this Maya, right? And here he's saying also a very interesting thing. He's saying, okay, now we have the whole creation here. So what created this whole thing is the vikshepa shakti of Maya. This power, the power of projection. This is what creates the world. This one of these two powers. To see something, and what is a creation? Vikshepa, projection. A creation is manifestation, means seeing something as something else, that is the creation, right? I have a cup here, you know, a steel cup. I didn't steal it, but it's a steel cup, right? So, not good for hot drinks, right? But good for, you know, for cold drinks, for water here. So what it is, it's steel, right? Stainless steel. But cup is the creation. It's really, it's the whole, where was the steel before and after the cup? It's the same steel. The creation is just seeing it as something else, giving it some name and some use in this, and we say now it's this. So creation is just seeing something differently. Because the whole, if you think the whole universe, the matter, energy of the whole universe, it's always the same matter and energy. It's not something different, something new. Same stuff is there, right? Nothing new under the sun, or behind the sun, or in the sun, or everywhere like this. Nothing new, same material. So it's only seeing differently. Like your dream, you create a beautiful dream. You know, it's just putting ideas on. So this way, this projection is how this whole universe will manifest, that it'll look like something else, like this. So this whole thing, this is how, what a creation is. A creation is that it's not anything new. Somebody's born, there's a new baby, right? population, you'll go to the board of the city of somebody's born in Fremont, they're going to quickly go where it says there, right? Fremont population 240,000, 50 and 57 people, quickly run 240,000, 58 people, right? One more. Anything new came, it's the same material, right? It's the same organic material and whatever other materials say. It's not, there's not something new. The same material that was already there is there. All the material in my body is not material that is new, you know, that is something new. It's the same material. So just see it a little differently. That's all. Same stuff. So this is projecting power of Maya then creates everything without projecting. You just see the same thing and that's it. So after, for, you know, we're restless. We want something new. People are in lockdown, they're restless, so they want to run and see something new. So the rajas is the projecting power. Something new, so I have to see something new and do it. Like kids. Kids nowadays, they have so many toys that it's very different. They still do this. It's not that they don't. But kids that grow up with very few toys or, you know, no toys, they'll take a stick and how many things they'll do with it, how many they'll make up for it. They'll just keep projecting all these ideas like this. And here too, you know, take some people there, they'll always project more and more stuff. Finally, everybody agrees on something, on certain religion, certain culture, certain rules. Will that hold for more than a week or two? Like there's a story that some Jewish fellow was stranded on an island, right? Shipwreck, was there for a few years. And then finally they came and found him. And so they came and the people that came there, that found him, he goes and he shows them, here's the hut, here's where I lived, right? I'd go and fish here and this kind of stuff. Then he'd say, and he said, and you see, this is, and then they saw he made two different huts with Star David over, two synagogues. They say, you made two places to pray, two synagogues, you're just here alone. Why do you have these two? What for? He said, yeah, that's my synagogue, I go pray there. In that synagogue, you won't find me dead in there. Mind always wants to project something else. Me and others in this endless. Like this. So this is how this creation like this. See if there's other important thing here. Yeah, so an important point also here is going to be then the difference between satya and mithya. This is, right, mithya and satya. This is important how what he's pointing out in here, where we have satya, or satya, and mithya. So satya, mithya, where satya is, right, existence or truth, absolute like this. Mithya is the is not unreal, but it's dependent reality, not independent. Like as I say, your dream doesn't have something, it's not an independent thing, it depends on you. Without you, without your mind, it's not there. It doesn't have it. It's a dependent existence, so it doesn't have the same level of reality as you, the individual, are compared to your dream. That's a dependent thing. So something which is dependent doesn't have it's not an independent existence, so it doesn't have the same, it doesn't have its own substance. A cup doesn't have substance, right? The substance is metal, and this is some form, some utility, but it's not some name we gave to it, but it's a cup isn't a substance. If it was substance, how can it be a clay cup or a glass cup or a metal cup? It couldn't be. It would be a substance, but there's no substance, right? Go to the chemical charts they have, right? There's no substance called, right? They have all these funny names, but they don't have something, caparium or whatever. There's no such thing. there's all these, this chart, but not cup. Potarium for the pots, right? So that's what mithya will be. dependent existence, meaning, and mithya, I would think the word myth would come from mithya, meaning there is some base there, but there's something added to it. A lot of fancy things added. So there is a base there, Brahma, and something added to it. Now what happens is the addition then is the is this is going to be the problematic part, which we'll start discussing as we get into. But it doesn't have, it's not an independent thing, the creation. Projected thing. The movie is a projected thing. There's nothing independent. Depends on the light. Without the light, no movie. Wouldn't be there. So this is one of the points that he brings up in here. Like this. So he continues to talk about the creation here. And he says, Srishtirnama brahmarupe sachidananda vastuni abdhaupenadivat sarva namarupa prasarana. The manifestation of all names and forms in Brahman, whose nature is existence, knowledge, and bliss absolute, like foam, bubbles, and other names and forms of water manifesting in the ocean, is known as the creation. So exactly what he said now, this what we were saying here, the mithya. If you take the, you go to the water, if you're in the Bay Area, you go and see the bay, and then there's the water in the bay, and then today's windy, so there are waves, and there's foam, and all this other stuff. It's really the whole time it's water there. The substance always the same thing, it's not different. So that's exactly what the mithya is, that it depends. So the substance here for the whole universe will be Brahman. Satchidananda, that's the substance. There's that, and not there's no other thing there. Satchidananda Brahman. And then what are the waves, the foam and this? Right? Nama Rupa. Right? Srishtir Nama. He didn't say it here, but that's what it is. Nama Rupa. The name and form. That's what a creation is. Because take the cup example. Stainless steel is the substance. What is cup? A name and a form, right? That's what it is. It's not a substance. So name and form, it's something temporary that doesn't stand on its own. So then that's why it's mithya, because it can't stand on its own. Not independent. We want to be independent. Something dependent means that it is unstable. Unstable, so means it's unstable. It can never stand even for a moment, because the moment you see it, it changes. So how can you say it's some solid reality? We say the cup is a solid reality. If you look closely enough, there's nothing solid in it, right? Doesn't have. I have some ideas in my mind I hold on to, and they're just my silly ideas, and eventually they'll change. So I see the world, I say it's a solid reality. Show me one thing that's solid there. Right? This, so that you say it's something solid, you give it a name, but passing shows. So what's really behind it is the question. So this is how he's what he's trying to point out. What is the vastu, the substance? What is really the material there? What is the object there? It's the Brahman. It's this thing. The one thing. You have to say eventually there's one thing behind everything, so it'll be that. And the other will be like the waves in it. And the waves, again, like the waves in your mind, ideas. The dream is ideas, so it doesn't have the same level of reality as what we have here. The dream level of reality, waking level of reality is different. Where this one we say is, this is real, we say this is reality. That one is some imagination, we'll say the dream. So yes, I'll say it affects me, but it doesn't have the same level. It's just something in my mind. So this is similar way how we look at it here, to see that it's the level of reality is different. Level of reality, Brahman and world will be similar to that. And we'll discuss that much further in this text. He's going to really analyze that much deeper when we go further into here, like this. Now, one other helpful point here is, okay, if I say the world is a projection, right? There must be some adhishtana, some substratum there. Projection on what? Right? There must be something. I went, it was partially dark. I went and I saw the snake. There had to be something to mistake as the snake. I won't mistake nothing for a snake, right? How you have to first has to have some initial input, and then I have to have some vikshepa. Vikshepa needs some base to it. It's not. I'll say I want a cup. No, I don't want any material, just pure cup. You'll bring me my cup. Nope. I don't want stainless steel, pure cup. I saw that Anmol was drinking, he had a glass cup. I'll say, no, I don't want his cup. Not plastic, not environmentally friendly. Pure cup. What do you mean pure cup? How are you going to find it like that? So I want pure Maya. What do you mean pure Maya? It's like, you know, I don't want the substance. It doesn't work. And then you end up with the king's new clothes, right? Like this. So this is why you can't have, it doesn't work. It has to be projection on something. There has to be something there, and then projection can be there. And then can mistake it for something else. That's the whole idea what magicians do, right? Something's there, but it looks like something else. That's all. You know, some of the tricks, how they do, for the life of me, I don't know, when they saw the person in two, I've seen when they even have two different people, they put saw in half and they put together the opposite, and suddenly this one had dark pants or skirt and this one had short, and they're suddenly the other ones when they're put together. All these things, I don't know how they do. That obviously is some trick. It's not, it looks like something, but the base is something, you know, obviously something else like this. So in this way, there has to be some base there. Can't be, if you mistake something for something else, there was something there. Like this. So then he's going to he talked about the one power that creates the world, the vikshepa. Now we'll talk about the other one, the avarana, the covering. And the covering is going to say like this. Antaradriktrishyagorbhedam Bahishcha Brahma Saragayoho Avrino Tyapara Shaktihi Sa Samsarasya Karanam. The other power of Maya, the Avarana, conceals the distinction between the perceiver and perceived within, and between Brahman and creation externally. That veiling power is the cause of samsara. So it's not the cause of the universe, but the cause of my samsara, the jiva srishti, right? That I superimpose things on the world. I cover it with other things. So this is an interesting thing. Without the Ishvara srishti on its own will cause me no problem, right? I'm here, and this is the story. America is created, now America breaks up, right? America, then America becomes dictatorship. Okay, you know, that's the story. Could be hard on some people happy this. That's just the factual thing, the Ishvara Srishti, like this. But then I like it like this. I'm caught up in it's my country. Happened somewhere else, yeah, it's in the news, it's a shame in this, now let's go and have dinner. But happens here, oh, my country, I get involved, it's mine, now, like this. And because actually the I and mind superimposition, that's where the whole thing, where we help to, that's the biggest superimposition, first thing I do. You know, call somebody your friend or your family member. It's also a day in your mind, you see a person. It's a person, I see other person. That one is not my friend, I don't know that one, this one is my friend. It's an idea in the mind. Tomorrow it'll be the other way around. Your friend, I don't like him anymore, I don't talk, this one now became my friend. So it's ideas I'm putting my mind on that, because mine, my circle, like this. Where, so this thing that I put on. Now the avarana, here the avarana of course is a partial, the partial covering. The avarana of deep sleep, no problem. The ignorance is bliss. Don't know anything, I'm wonderful, I get a break. Has two wonderful benefits. Number one, I get a break from everything. So our Vishnu used to say, you know, that he, you know, how, if he has to play role starring Vishnu in 24 hours, how hard it is. And mine needs a break from the role. So the deep sleep, you get a break from the role like this, right? Meditation also, okay, maybe then can get a break from that role you're playing in this way. So that's one thing. You get a break from the role. Second, you give everybody else a break from you too. So twofold. But from our perspective, Vedanta, really, that I get a break is really what I'm seeing, and that so I, without the role, I can still be there like this. But the part, the full covering, full avarana, no problem. The partial avarana is the problem. I see, and then I don't clearly see what it is. Right? Now, one point, though, to be understood, because the avarana devikshepa comes, if you saw this the rope clearly, you would not jump into a conclusion it's a snake. So meaning, the partial avarana is giving birth to the vikshepa. That's for sure. That being said, so it is the root cause of everything, yes. But one point, though, is the moment I know what it is, that it's a rope, the snake can look exactly the same. It can look just like a snake, but it's not going to disturb me anymore. So the thing is, that's why the avarana needs to be I need to understand what's there. Once I understand, no problem. So really, in this way, although it is the cause of the two, the actual creation, it's no problem for me. That's not a problem. It's the misunderstanding. This is what Vedanta points out here. Very interesting thing like this then is, that is, the cause for creation, cause for samsara are two different things like this. Because creation on its own is not going to do anything to me like this. Thinking, a misinterpretation, that's the problem. So, because understanding something doesn't mean that it has to change. Experience and knowledge, same experience can there, but knowledge is different like this. This is the thing, is the example we gave. You meet somebody and you talk to them and this, you come for class here, we have class for this, you talk to us, have retreat day, you talk, you have lunch, somebody this, and then the next week you say, oh, that fellow was here last week, not here this time, what was his name? Oh, that was my brother. Oh, it was your brother, I didn't know this. So you had experience, but not knowledge. You had experience of person, but not the knowledge of who they are. Now, if the person is there again, experience is the same. Same person, same this. With knowledge, it's different. But the experience is same. Same person, same personality, same body, same everything like this. So the whole world doesn't have to then disappear. I go, some state world disappear. Not needed. It's just an understanding. I see the world differently through this light. That's really what's important here, is that this one. That's why shutting off the mind, yoga chitta vritti nirodha, shut it off, won't solve it, because that gets rid of the srishti, but not of the avarana. That's why Vedanta says that won't solve the problem. It'll solve temporarily, because the universe is gone, creation gone, very good. What'll happen when he comes back? Then again, so that's why that's not what's going to solve it, but the understanding. The understanding, then whether it's here or not, that's fine. And then it's the same. So this is the point that he's trying to bring up here in this verse to explain that. Like this. And then what happens is, according to Vedanta, then my emotional, psychological problems, difficulties, all this, the base of them is on this one. Because it's all due to a misunderstanding of the world, but then world and myself, it goes hand in hand, because I said, that's world, this is myself. If I really do the viveka dirik drishya, this body, this mind, it's not me. So then what problem is there? Like this. Where's the problem? The problem is the identification, taking things from the drishyam and putting on the drik side. I put it there. Now that misunderstanding is causing the issue like this. I remember seeing in, I think it was the movie Earth, one of the movies, where nature movies like this, where there were, because the ice cap's melting, the polar bear had to swim so much further, was very tired, so wants to attack some walruses there, but it's too weak, so tries, and they make some noise, and it sees it can't do it. So it just lies down there and knows it doesn't have the strength to keep attacking them. It just lies down and knows it's going to give up and it dies and that's it. It just says, okay, that's how it is. It didn't go and sob, okay, what's going to happen to me? Was I a good person? Am I going to go to heaven? You know, what'll be next? You know, what's death? It doesn't worry about these things. It just, that's how it is, matter of fact, like this. Because the fact has, it's good, bad, this, that, that's individual thing. But so, of course, the polar bear doesn't have our intellect, so it's a different story because it works on instinct. But with us, then, you know, we have to use our discrimination for this. That when I take the body as me, yes, the problem's in where I don't take the body as me. Okay, I take care of it because it's in my, you know, I have some duty. I have this, an instrument, but I understand it's something, not me. Then there isn't the same problem. So that's why the issues that I have, Vedanta says, they are solved by this understanding like this, in this way. So that's why this is so important this way. Where if, you know, mistake some small thing for something else, not a big deal. But here, it does make a big difference. Because this is then what causes samsara, right? The whirlpool, the world of ups and downs in my mind. That's the base. So we'll finish here, and then we'll continue with it. Continue unveiling the whirlwind next time. Om. Om. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. So if anybody has any questions, we have a little bit of time to cover anything. Very good. If you don't have, then you can hold your peace for 1 week. Reflect on these things nicely in this, and then next time we'll look a little bit further at it like this. So one thing also when we study this, this is one thing that I've heard from people, and I understand it. It's something that they'll find, there's repetition and this. They're inevitable. When you're looking at any subject, there is repetition. But the thing is to look more and more into it. If I were to do my mananam, I would do the same kind of thing, looking into it in these points. And once it's clear, okay, no problem. When it's not clear, then keeping looking into it. So, of course, there's some new materials you study, but slowly, slowly, a lot of the material's not something new. But it's just, again, looking at it. That's what we have to do in order to have the clear understanding. When understanding is clear, okay, no problem, like this. So that's really what happens in the study. So one has to, you know, learn that it's really taking something and looking at it until it's clear to look at. That's what it is, not necessarily always something new. But I didn't look at it clearly enough, I couldn't see that thing. And I see it, I want to see it in a more and more refined way. The snake and rope will stay the whole time. It's not, the snake and rope are not going to go away. Look at Shankara's his commentaries on Gita and Upanishads. This snake and rope keep coming up. Because it's such a wonderful example. Keep using it in order to explain so many things. So like this. So that's one thing just to be aware when studying these things. That's really, at some point, it's really, you're just looking at it more clear and from different angles. And it's not introducing something new. So, because I want to really see it as it is like this. That's one thing when you study these things. Very good. So keep well. We'll see you all either in the yoga class now or next week. Om.